Hello, Postgame 44. I got mad in the first. I just want to apologize in case for saying I said piece of shit, which I try to be a little bit more poetic.
I like it, man.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, usually I'm the one screaming. Dude, I was watching during the break. I was on like Facebook now has like a TikTok thing that I don't know how my brain gets me there, but I keep on like. You know, I'm just like, just like taking a second. Yeah. And then I'm just watching like the same TikTok video of like five different versions of it. It's really scaring me. Not only that, like, I'm just turning into like a zombie every time I have a second and I'm just watching these terrible TikTok videos, or the fact that it's just like being shoved in my face. I'm not even deciding to watch it. I'm not going on TikTok. I'm like, trying to see people's wedding announcements and like weird old uncle, like conservative memes on Facebook. And now I'm being inundated with like teenagers.
Yeah. They have like a vertical scroll video thing. On Facebook.
Yeah. And it's just like, I'm sorry, my brain is too stupid that like when I watch a video like that, I just bloop, you know, and then next thing I know, I'm watching people like reacting to Gordon Ramsay. That, I'm sorry, like, I don't want, like, whatever we all, you know, relax our own way, but like, that style of content really freaks me out. It's like the person watching a viral video where like they don't even comment, but they just sort of like smile or shake their head at something. Yeah. Have you seen this?
Yeah, yeah.
That's too meta for me.
It's also funny how, like, so I don't have Facebook on my phone, and I really don't. I never made a choice to it, but like I just stopped using it, and I rarely log in. But Instagram has the exact same thing. I have both TikTok and Instagram.
Yeah, exactly.
And they do I honestly can't tell if sometimes which one I'm on. And like Facebook's or like Instagram's, it's like it always wants me to shoot like car crashes. It's like. It's like I don't know what there's something weird. Like that's why like. Forget partisan politics for a second. Those algorithms should be public just so we can know what kind of fucking experiments. We know they run experiments on people. Facebook's already been in trouble for running experiments on people.
Yeah, why are like all my videos like nurses describing their husbands and like Matt's videos are just like brutal car crashes?
What are yours?
Mine are like nurses talking about why they love their husbands. I'm like, oh, this is nice.
Wow, that is so wholesome. Mine are like, so there's some obvious ones like Megan Thee Stallion videos. Then there's this weird thing where like for 3 years ago, I remember talking to Michael about this. Like, I felt like Instagram was trying to make me attracted to women playing golf. Like, that was just like every eighth video was like
that's
a woman teeing off.
Go to South Carolina, man.
And it's like, I don't care about this. Like, stop showing. I don't golf. Like, how is this in my thing? But yeah, that infinite scroll, you can tell there's something that gets the.
Yeah, there's a little checkbox with, like, under your name, Matt Leck loves women who golf.
I mean, that's not really. Like, I don't know, maybe tennis, but like that, there's something about that infinite scroll, that video thing that you can tell that the social media giants, like that goes right to the reptile brain. Like you just want to keep finding like the different things. And I've actually started doing like TikTok dances. I literally enjoy like the gritty. I started, I learned how to do the gritty in my house. I was doing it. My girlfriend was out with friends hiking. So I had the entire apartment myself. I learned how to do the gritty. And then there's this other one, I can't think of the name is, but like, that shit's fun to me that I like, that's very cool. But I also like, don't trust all of a sudden you'll get this weird pro cop shit too. Right. It's like, yeah. Here's these people dancing and here's the military and how like a troop enjoys, like, I don't know, a lunch or something.
Have you seen those videos? What I love about this conversation is that there's like some of our audience that knows what we're talking about, but maybe some of them have no clue. And like, please, like, you don't want to investigate, but like, have like, there are all these studios out in California, I'm assuming, maybe they're in Arizona or something. And they do like 12-minute long videos and they're all just like delayed, like satisfaction videos where they're like, you'll never believe what happens here. And it's like really, and they put the text on the screen and it just like something's happening. I don't know. Maybe there's a blind person walking, you know, very poorly acted.
Yeah.
Thing. And you're just supposed to watch it for like 10 minutes. And the thing that's fascinating about them is like what ends up happening at the end can just be completely bonkers, but not in a creative way. Just like in the laziest, like they just like, all right, let's wrap this up. But yeah. It just takes like 20 minutes for you to sit there and watch it. And I, like, as a kid, I was the kid who like read the cereal box, like the whole thing. You know what I mean? Like, I will, like, I have that kind of brain that, like, if I get introduced to something, I want to sort of see where it's going. And it really messes me up. And I just get, the thing about it is, like, I'm not getting entertained. I'm just like filled with anger and resentment for this. I feel really nuts. Because like this feels like such an insult, not only to like my intelligence, but like to like the intelligence of like humanity. Yeah. I don't know. It's just, it's bizarre, but like that is like what they want us all to turn into. Like that is what they want media to end up becoming.
No, future. I honestly, like, if I could control F the CIA archives, one of the very first terms I would search for is attention or attention economy, because like I honestly think like how that is apportioned is like that's why Walt Disney was so useful to American capitalism, right? Like enchanting the that sort of thing is they clearly have an eye on it. There's a reason Amazon owns Twitch and all these like major corporations are so attuned to attention time. Even on top of like serving ads, right? Like they don't want people on your platform.
No, for sure. I mean, but that's like, you probably know better than me, but like they were studying like mind control. The CIA was studying mind control and they're having some success, but I'm sorry, this pop culture stuff is way better. I'm not even pop culture, like the internet and all of this is like way more effective at sort of doing population management than, you know, controlling random people's brains.
Yeah, well, and it's dangerous for them. Like, the thing is like, it used to be controlling the signal so it couldn't get out, right? Like, so you could only hear about, like, socialism or whatever through, like, pamphlets and shit like that. Like, we're getting near the CBS radio waves, right?
Yeah.
And then you have the internet where basically you can tune in wherever. So you need to add a whole bunch more noise to the signal, basically. And that's where we're at now. We're basically creating a lot of noise. Bullshit, so.
Well, here we go. Everybody, yeah, welcome to the post game. Two elderly millennials complaining about TikTok.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I mean, I actually think that it is legit. Well, we got some fun stuff to get to. What should we do first, Matt?
I want to talk about Matt Damon and how Matt Damon, like, fuck Matt Damon. That's what I want to start out with this. Look, I enjoy some of your films. I will say, as a high schooler, in Mandan, North Dakota, watching the Bourne movies was a way for me to travel the globe in a certain way. I think that's honestly why I love that. It's like, oh crap, look at these exotic locales, and, you know, check in the exits and, you know, different ways to look, all that stuff. This, how you can go from like, I'm gonna be this environmental guy and like whatever his water charity or whatever stuff is, to doing this, I think it says all about like why people hate celebrities, honestly.
I think so. Just give me one second. I'm pulling it up right now. And this is a sad one too, because we'll see the other person in it. They seem to be really deep in it. Maybe even a little bit of trouble, but here we go.
Retweeted by Terry Crews.
History is filled with almosts. With those who almost adventured, who almost achieved, but ultimately, for them it proved to be too much. Then there are others, the ones who embrace the moment and commit. And in these moments of truth, these men and women, these mere mortals, just like you and me, as they peer over the edge, they calm their minds and steel their nerves with four simple words that have been whispered by the intrepid since the time of the Romans. Fortune favors the brave.
Coming to an app store near you. Holy moly, that's amazing. I have not seen that yet. Are you serious?
That is insane, isn't it? Like the way, like the speaking to all in all this like grandiose way of like, and it really upsets me how all of these like fucking vampires like to speak to these important moments in your life. Like, oh, look at you with this girl at a nightclub, and also innovation. It's just like the basest manipulation.
And also, like going to the moon.
Yeah. And can I just say, I want to shout out Concerned Canuck on Twitter. Fortune favors the bold, where that phrase comes from. Comes from Pliny the Elder. When Mount Vesuvius erupted, he wanted to go save somebody on Mount Vesuvius. I'll just read from this Wikipedia here. As Pliny's vessel approached the shore of near Herculaneum, cinders and pumice began to fall on it. The helmsman advised turning back, to which Pliny replied, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing Pliny. I'm not a Rome expert. A fortune favors the bold. Steer to where Pompeianus is. Upon reaching Stabiae, they found Senator Pompeianus, who they're going to save. But the same winds that brought them there prevented them from leaving. The group waited for the wind to abate, but they decided to leave earlier that evening for fear their house would collapse. The group fled when a plume of hot toxic gas involved them. The group fled when a plume of hot toxic gases engulfed them. Pliny, a corpulent man, I don't know who wrote this, I need to say it like that, but a corpulent man who suffered from a chronic respiratory condition, possibly asthma, died from asphyxiation caused by the toxic gases and was left behind. That's the guy that said fortune favors the bold. Like, I don't want to get, like, conspiratorial about, like, you know, like, everyone's, like, going crazy about, like, Travis Scott, like, looking for, like, Satanism when, like, you should probably look to, like, the bargain bin security that they had. But, like, that's like almost taunting people, like, by including that phrase. Like, yeah, go to Mount Vesuvius and choke on gas. That's what fortune favors the bold comes from. So
I mean I think you're so right, and you know, we should contact the marketing team for sure. But like, the thing that's so sad about it too, Matt, is that this is just a society in decline.
Yes,
like, so much so. I mean, like, look, it's funny, and it is sort of tragic, frankly, that our limitations of, like, thinking of, like, the great moments in history now are that, like, oh, who went across the Atlantic, right? Who was the first person to fly and go to the moon? I think, like, say for Christopher Columbus, who was a pig and was very late, frankly. Right. At getting over there. You know, I don't think that there's, like, anything wrong with sort of, like, I think it's amazing. I think space travel is really brave. I think it's incredible to find a way to fly. All these, I'm not discrediting those at all, but it is interesting that one, those are, like, when Americans now imagine, like, the great people in history, like, that's the only two things we can think of, essentially, like, flight. And second of all, the fact that, so I'm saying, like, I think that's a limited imagination, but beyond that, the sadder thing is that, are you really saying that the contemporary moment that is akin to being the first person to fly in an airplane or to exit the atmosphere is sitting on your couch and buying a speculative asset and hoping that the number goes up in 6 months?
Yep.
That's sad, man. That is a bad culture. Like, yeah. There's no dream there. There's no dream if our only dreams are just saying, well, I sure do hope that number goes up on my cell phone. I mean, that is really,
really tragic. It's really devoid. Like, that's a profound lack of meaning. Like, so, yeah. You wonder why, like, yeah, like Josh Hawley talking about people turning to porn and video games. It's like,
yeah, compared talking about to this Bitcoin shit. And day trading.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, go. You know what
I mean? I mean, at least video games, you get victory and, you know, in a similar way, maybe with porn, I don't know. But, like, you know, just sitting around and being like, oh, I hope my number goes up. That's sad shit, man. That's sad as hell.
Yeah, it's so bad.
Thank you, Matt Damon, for being a great role model for the young folks. And I guess Terry Crews too.
Yeah, maybe we should just go in on Terry Crews now. Do we have his Amazon ad?
Yeah, I can bring it back up. Just give me a second.
I mean, yeah, so I found this today. I was unaware of it until Terry Crews did this just atrocious advertisement himself for Amazon. And I just was going through Terry Crews' incredibly commercial Twitter feed. Like, that guy will sell you a tweet. If you want to get your tweet seen, Terry Crews will tweet it out for you. We got 1.6 million followers, and tell you what, he is pitching those people. He is pitching those people to advertisers. So yeah, Terry, do you have the? I put it in.
I can find it. Yeah, give me a sec.
Yeah, it's under the one. But
I'll find it.
I don't know. I don't want to get too far.
We don't know. But like, it is like, I mean, beyond Terry Crews, I don't understand how there's all these people who have millions of followers.
Spike Lee
essentially are, just walking billboards.
Right.
I mean, I understand why people do it. They, man, make some money. But it is just amazing that people, we like subject ourselves to it. I mean, frankly, I'll tell you one person that I did that for a while with was Matthew McConaughey. I mean, I love Matthew McConaughey, and every, like, the Wild Turkey commercials were great. So I'm not saying I'm above it, but I'm just saying it is just amazing to me that, like, you know, whenever people get worked up about Twitter real life or not, it is always funny to see, like, who has the most followers on Twitter, right? It's like, yeah, Ashton Kutcher and folks like that. It's just like, this is like a bizarro, like, reality for me, from what I think people are sort of interacting with on the site, when you realize that most people, one, aren't engaging in politics or weird Twitter or, like, even comedy. And mainly it's just, like, ads from, like, you know, Taylor Swift.
To fans.
Yeah. You know, it is well. All right, let me pull this up. I have it. I have it from our friend Big Black Jackman.
And I'm Guesso from This Machine Kills. And I mean, this
guest on Left Reckoning.
It's hard to know which is worse, honestly. I think this might be. I don't know. I don't know. I can't tell. These are equally bad. And both these people should be ashamed. Here's Terry Crews.
We're here. I heard Amazon was hiring a bajillion people and thought I'd take a look for myself.
Do you have to go with the arrow up?
Yeah.
The arrow up. So Amazon does pay for tuition?
Yep.
So what do you think my major should be? Hi, Savannah.
Hi, Gary.
Wait, I get to drive a forklift? Benefits, tuition, and flexible hours. They're hiring everywhere, so check it out for yourself.
Yeah, you're muted. That Amazon pays for tuition little joke that they had in there kind of explains one of the problems, which is, like, often these jokes are pitched as, like, just like a thing you do after you get done with eighth period and for a few hours for some spending money, kids, right? Like, and then they're gonna pay for your education. Like, what if I'm fucking, like, in my 40s and I don't want to go back to school? That means nothing to me. I'm glad you pay benefits to full-time employees. That's the law. And the thing that's always really awful about this is any sort of warehouse job that's unionized is going to be significantly over this $15 minimum wage that they like to talk about so often. So, like, it's great for, you know, like, love that you're supportive of $15 minimum wage, but you're undercutting warehouse employees everywhere that you exist. Oh, you're still muted.
Amazon has one of the highest turnover rates in the industry for its warehouse employees. So to sit here and point to, like, a tuition, you know, promise, I think is cynical. And beyond that, I mean, I don't want to get into this too much, but, like, you know, there's this big conversation this week about the working class and college degrees, et cetera, right? And I think that some people trying to take cheap shots at a very good study that came out from Jacobin was a little annoying. But beyond that, I think that if people weren't sort of told that going to school is your ticket to, you know, your ticket out of the working class, then organizations like Amazon and Starbucks wouldn't use that as a kind of carrot to encourage people to take on brutal conditions and you know, working conditions at their facilities, right? Like, regardless of whether or not it's true, because it's not. I mean, most people know that, you know, one of the kind of cruel tricks in the U.S. is this kind of promise that if you go to college, you're going to sort of, you know, have a nice life. And that's not true, unfortunately. And, you know, there are plenty of people who have college degrees who are in the working class. But what I'm saying is that if the promise of getting a degree is still seen by working people across the country as an opportunity to sort of further yourself or to get out, you know, we should take that very seriously as a kind of, you know, designation, if nothing else, right? Like Amazon sees value in sort of holding up a college degree over workers, you know, to try to encourage them to, you know, take on brutal conditions for a reason.
Yeah. It's really is a message about like, see, we give these people the opportunity to better themselves, right? Like it's a message to like,
people it's, the, it's like, it's Squid Game though, Bubba. Like it's Squid Game because nobody's at the end. Right. Like nobody's there long enough to take advantage of that stuff, except for the one guy in the commercial.
Right. But that's why I'm saying like it's just a message for people who aren't going to take those jobs almost like we're look at what we're doing. Look at what we're doing for people really is what they want to be seen more, probably more than hiring people. Although, like you said, they're going to turn in. And how fucking shameful for Terry Crews to take a check from like a company that is literally burning through employees across the country. Like maybe like you could bump it up to $16 an hour if Terry Crews stopped fucking eating half of it. So disgraceful stuff actors do. Really bad stuff.
This is wild. This is from Market. Let me share this with you. Just like a citation to the high turnover rate. I don't know how this is calculated. So maybe someone else could explain it to me later, but this is from Marketplace. Amazon is currently the second largest private employer in the United States, and it could become the largest in a few years. But a new investigation by the New York Times raises significant questions about the company's management of warehouse workers and discovers an unusually high rate of turnover among its hourly associates, around 150% a year, even before the pandemic, which means the company was losing around 3% of its warehouse workers each week, nearly double the rate of small businesses.
Shut them down. I mean,
just absolutely wild, yeah. But I'm glad that those people, you know, can get tuition.
Yeah, and like high five Terry Crews as instead of taking a bathroom break.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, those were actors too. I mean, just wild shit. Yeah. I mean, that's the weird techno world that we're living in. I mean, from crypto, which, you know, doesn't do shit for anybody, to Amazon, which just exploits the hell out of many people. To this next beautiful new technology, Matt, can you bring us into the NFT world? I don't know if I just expect you to understand this more than me.
I think your problem is you expect there to be something more there than
this. I just feel like there has to be something more going on here that I'm missing.
No, like this is like, remember when Facebook like app games got really popular and that was good money? This is just that, but outside of the internet. Or outside of Facebook, where you know you can buy a tiger or pogs, beanie babies, tulips, pretty much everything people say that this is just what that is.
Okay.
A non-fungible token, you know, means you have, I guess, the rights to some kind of image that's stored on a server somewhere. And for some reason, people think that this is like imbues their soul with this artwork. Which is very sad, and we talk about the devoid, the search for meaning in you know, modern times. You're not breaking the aura of an artwork by creating an NFT that points to it. And so this is a guy who, you know, so NFTs, like these images you'll see, like there's these lazy lions, which is the one you'll see here, but there's different kinds.
Mm-hmm.
There's like a CryptoPunks one, there's like a ape one, a sloth one. And basically, it's just different, slight variations to these characters that you can buy and kind of use as profile pictures mainly. It seems to be the main use for it so far. And so the thing is like everybody knows you can right click an image and save it. Mm-hmm. And that's obviously the first observation you can make. Even if you couldn't right-click it, you could do a screenshot of this image. Because if the image is being served to you on your computer, it means that you can copy that image and do whatever you want with it. As being, and you know, like the funny thing to me is, like, I think the more advanced NFT people were like, that's not what it is. This is about exclusive rights to this certain thing that you can transfer over to people, whatever, right? But it is causing a kind of existential break for a lot of these folks, because actually one of the things you would want to, if you have ownership over an image, is to stop people from reproducing it, particularly into replies to you saying you spent like thousands of dollars for it and say, well, I just spent zero for it and I can do it here, right? Like that mm-hmm. is actually ownership, but these people have been sold a nebulous form of ownership that they think is more ownery, more legitimate, because it takes a lot of resources to crunch and there's math involved. That's all there is to it, basically. So anyway, I say all that to say, this guy, David and I aren't certain if this is a bit or not. If it's a joke, he's very, very committed.
And it has been committed for months.
Yeah, I think this is an NFT guy.
Because this is a beautiful piece of media. The reason that this is, I actually want to play two videos, but this is the first one. We played this, I think, earlier in the show today. We'll just play this real quick. But just note, he is reading a quote from Crypto Bros Taking L's, right? Which is why we are wondering whether or not it's a bit. But then the next tweet from him is, if you're interested in learning about NFTs and want more helpful content, start here. And it's a bunch of different ways that you can sort of get into the NFT market. So I do not know.
Can I just say, like, imagining a gold rush, I wouldn't be saying, hey, this is how you can come get gold in this hill, too. There's too much gold for me to get. I want more people to come get gold with me.
That should be the number one red flag between, from NFTs to crypto. Right. This is good, though. Let's put this on for everybody.
Yeah.
You think it's funny to take screenshots of people's NFTs, huh? Property theft is a joke to you. I'll have you know that the blockchain doesn't lie. I own it. Even if you save it, it's my property. You are mad that you don't own the art that I own. Delete that screenshot.
I mean, that's T.S. Eliot right there. That's the modern T.S. Eliot. Great poetry. I almost want to... I have like a poetry scanning app that we could put in. But yeah, beautiful, beautiful work there. Oh, you're still muted.
This is the best. This is my personal favorite out of all the videos that I've seen so far from our friend here.
Right. I think this is also a good overview of the Lazy Lions concept.
Yeah, actually, it really is. I mean, God, look at this. How much would you spend on all that, Matt? By the way, we'll come right back to this in a second. I just wanted to inform people who aren't unfortunate enough to know any information about this bizarre world. They're having troubles right now with there being a kind of glut and people willing to spend the amount of money that the early adopters were. So there's a lot of freak out within that community that, like, I don't know, people aren't willing to spend the same amount of money that they were up top, because I think you have a longer thread, don't you, Matt, that we'll get into in a moment. But, you know, some of these guys who were first getting their NFTs right-clicked, or more seriously, their tokens misplaced, were essentially working with the sellers to fix prices on the stolen art. I don't even want to legitimate it by saying the stolen stuff, but basically some guys had their tokens hacked, and then they wanted it back, and then they were afraid that they were going to be resold on other websites. Basically these websites, which are supposed to be completely neutral, nobody setting prices, you know, decentralized, all that kind of blah, blah, blah nonsense that these guys get fixated on. Those platforms themselves were actually fixing the prices on the NFTs so that those guys could buy them back again, which is amazing to spend money twice on something like this.
And like that, and I have this link here in the chat there. But this guy, his name is Calvin Becerra, CalvinBecerra.
Oh, this is it. Sorry.
Yeah. So this first tweet is the most important one, I think, that he says, because he says, not change, and I'm still not changing my PFP, which means personal profile picture, still my ape. So he's literally doing what everybody else is doing in saying, because the code is law, right? All this, mm-hmm. all this stuff about smart contracts and like, ooh, yeah, like basically just marketing to the fundamentalist brain that you can remove humans from this equation and you can have just like code that's so great that you'll never have a dispute over this stuff. Actually, no. Actually, humans run all this shit and it'll take. And so, like, he gets scammed out of his tokens. And then, so he legally doesn't own, or per the blockchain, doesn't own it anymore, right? The blockchain says he's not the owner. And he writes, and I'm keeping my and I'm not changing my personal profile pic, still my ape, right? So that's interesting there. And it's a little bit small, but like, he ultimately gets his apes back somehow by running to the marketplaces and saying, this is bad, don't trust what the blockchain says there, we need to like blacklist these apes, right? So again, involving all this stuff that we're told is made obsolete by the amazing trust inherent to a blockchain system. And I would just ask, like, this ultimately worked out for him. And I'm suspicious if this wasn't some sort of marketing stunt to like make these apes, you know, right? I'm
people very feel like cynical. They're valuable enough to be stolen.
Exactly, right? Like I'm still skeptical about all this, but like, that is, I mean, I think that makes a point, right?
It gets dark really quick. Even they don't even live up to their own principles is basically the story. And I mean, it's a hilarious bubble, and the guys within it are sort of wild.
It's sad. Like in it, like the most rational or the most like sympathetic to, or like, if I was in those positions, I'd want to be lying. Because if these folks believe this stuff, it's super sad, man. And they've sold themselves about like what value means. And I see people saying, like, I saw like a type of cope, which is like, actually, the more people that right click this, the more valuable it is because it's getting more popular. It's like, how valuable you think that's going to be? If you become the most right clicked NFT, what are you going to turn that into? Like, I mean, maybe you can get some dumb. I'm also skeptical of these like $1 million NFT purchases as like a way to move money around. That's not.
The big ones at the get go were all basically in house transactions.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, it's a bizarre concept to sort of pump and get rich quick. I think that this, again, regardless of, I can't tell for the life of me if this is legit or not. But I think this does sort of show the ideology very well. This right here.
Yeah, here we go.
So I'm always fake flexing, huh? I just got one question for all my haters at home. Where am I? And where are you? I'm on OpenSea shopping for a lazy lion with a $600 lazy hat, $500 lederhosen, $200 party hat. And don't let me remind you about my 14 lazy lions. Where am I? And where are you? So I'm always fake.
My $500 lederhosen, man.
It's just crazy because that imagery takes, they algorithmically create this. It's like line with this hat. And it's just like, like, you know those things where you used to be able to like turn the torso and the head and the legs and create different like people? I don't know if I'm it's like a, I feel like he was on playgrounds or whatever. But like, that's all this is. It's like, oh, now he's in a cowboy hat with a Hawaiian lei on. And like, I guess that one, maybe that's the one that's going to be $500,000.
It's just like deviant art having like a big moment. Yeah. Again in 2021.
But it's like, no, like, honestly, it's like, it's, there's less effort to that. Like, none of these, every single one of these, has been like algorithmically created. It's not even like there's not even like an artist getting famous from creating these things, right? Because it's all just shit. Like, if there was like some guy who's like, I would love it if there was some guy who's like a great painter, and the only way like that was acceptable, like that like is conceivable, like way to sell this to me on its terms that like the promoters sell it. But no one even approaches that. It's just the most basic, easy to like churn out bullshit every time. And I don't know. It's bizarre how much fucking attention it gets on social media. And Jack Dorsey, like, I mean, it's not a surprise, I guess. Like Jack Dorsey and Matt Damon and fucking Terry Crews, they're all selling you this shit. It really is. I mean, it's a crisis of.
When Matt Damon is selling you the revolution, you need to run the other way.
Oh my god!
That's sort of it.
I feel like I'm spiraling. But how did it all end up to fucking crypto? I remember when Matt Damon used to be like narrating Planet Earth and being like, "This is the polar bears; we got to save them." And now it's like to the moon. Like Jesus.
Oh Lord! Well. You can catch me on C-Space buying some $500 Lederhosen and $600 Lazy Lion cap.
I mean, a Lazy Lion and a Timberwolves cap would be pretty sick.
I just love the word Lazy Lion. I just think that's the best fit. It's just like saying it. Like, I love to say Lazy Lion.
Yeah. You know what's funny? The one thing that, like, where my ears did prick up with NFTs early on was with the trading card aspect of it. Like... No, I didn't do it ultimately, but like that sort of thing like makes sense to me. If like the Ja Morant NFT was like $1 million, I'd be like, at least this scans with like what trading cards were doing in the 90s, right? But it's again, it's this basic pixel shit that should be an insult. Like, it's almost like they're laughing at the idiots that are buying it. Honestly, that think this is like I got my profile pic for the next 30 years. No one. You think you're like, what the fuck are you talking about? We're probably gonna be done with profile. It's the metaverse, baby. Who needs a fucking profile? Yeah, pick? But yeah.
Are the NFTs are they blockchain too?
The NFTs are used.
So are
blockchain.
They wasteful? Like
exactly. Yes. That's the whole.
Is there mining? I mean, how do they do the proof of work? Oh god, that's I don't want to.
Well, I mean, yeah, exactly. Like the NFT is like it's like the same way you own a. I'm probably gonna get this wrong, but it uses the same blockchain proof of work to like
so is it environmentally damaging too?
Yes.
I love it, dude. Let's burn the world so that you can get some fucking Lederhosen on your Lazy Lion. I love it, man. That is just that's so much better. I mean, like, you thought that fast fashion was bad, you thought all that other, you know, like, you know, Nikes being made in sweatshops was bad. Just burning the goddamn world. So that you can have a lion with its tongue out with a dollar sign on it.
It's so just like a gasoline awesome. Spectacle machine, and it's not even like it's giving you something good to look at. It's just a fucking lion. So you can look at it. What are you doing? So you can look at it and tell people you have it. And it's like I saw something. It's like a $1.8 million transaction for a CryptoPunk NFT, and somebody replied to it, "Congratulations!" ! To both parties! ! Which is just the funniest thing to have to say, because, like, yeah, congratulations to the person who just made $1.8 million. If this was a genuine transaction, you know, asterisk. But then, like, you'd only ever congratulate the next person when they sold it for a equal or greater amount of money, right? At no point are you going to be like, "Oh, I'm glad I have this fucking thing." Like, I forgot what that thing looks like. I remember the $1.8 million. Like, no one knows what that's going to look like besides that motherfucker who bought it. And, like, that, it is bizarre, man. This world.
I love it, man. Well, thanks, everybody. This was worth it. The world might have burned, but I got my boy in his pimp hat. It's badass. Like, I don't need, this might even be a fake. I think it's a fake NFT.
Well, yeah, you have to do the calculation. You have to burn a quarter of the rainforest.
That's what we should get into, man. I mean, let's get on this. Fuck, dude.
NFT appraisal?
Let's just be NFT embracers. If you look really closely here, I don't know how to work a Windows computer to zoom in, but it's like, listen, you see that grainy image, that means that it's a fake NFT. We're seeing a lot more of these Bored Apes, these things before, all like these cheaters.
The NFTs roadshow.
Who would make a fake? Who would do that? Who would, you know, abuse the system by creating a fake Bored Ape? Just disgusting.
And you know, like, how they, it's all marketing. It's all like, get a basketball player to like put it on a shoe or whatever. Get influencers to do it. And that's all when they, I've seen like, I can't remember. That's how out of mind these things are. I forgot. There was some kid who was making one. I made fun of him on Twitter, and I've already forgot what his little project was. But it was this thing where it's like they go into this Discord, and they talk about like how amazing their project's going to be and how they need to sell it, and basically like hit the ground running with publicity and views and like impressions, right? And that's all the fucking game is. Because if you can get like a basketball player, especially if you can have cash to like get Terry Crews to do something, right? Like then you might get like a few people that have $5,000 that have been seen, that have been doing their own research on like these fucking, with these fucking like liars. And they think like, oh, here's a great investment. I can put this NFT. I mean, I'm making myself depressed even thinking myself through it.
No, I hear you.
So fucking, it sucks.
Look at a couple of questions?
Yeah, we should.
Dave from Jamaica says, Matt, this crypto and NFT shit is like Farmville that can make you go broke.
Exactly. It's like it's like Farmville that broke free of Facebook and is just like taking over the world now.
JB Funk's a question for later. Was the Italian press accurate in the report that Biden's meeting with the Pope ran long because he shit his pants? Did you see anything about this? I only saw the reaction to it.
Yeah, I just heard Chapo.
I haven't heard it through Chapo, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I was wondering when that was happening. It's like, God, you know, I think I spent some time online. How do they come across this Biden meeting with the Pope in-depth shit that I missed? But, yeah, I do like the story that they were saying on Chapo this week about Biden just telling this long-winded story to the Pope.
Oh, yeah.
I love it.
I forget.
I can't remember about who was a sportsman.
Oh, about Satchel Paige.
Yeah.
Which I have a way better story about Satchel Paige breaking the color line in Bismarck, North Dakota with the Bismarck Churchill's integrated baseball team. But that was not Joe Biden's, I don't think, story.
No, I don't think it was either. All right, those are some recent ones. We'll go to this some at the top. Joe says, it's all right. I'd like to plug an event in Rhode Island this Saturday, but needs a bit of context. Under the American Rescue Plan, Rhode Island was allocated $1.13 billion to spend. However, our government decides, ideally to address our economic, public health, education, climate crisis, but it essentially has no restrictions or strings attached to it. It just is free federal money. Sounds great, right? Well, fast forward 8 months, and Rhode Island is the only Democrat-controlled state in the country and the only state in New England to not spend any of its ARPA funding yet. Sure, spending free federal money on desperately needed programs would get in the way of pushing yet more austerity politics through in a 24-hour voterama at the end of the legislative session, and they can't afford to let the poor get any ideas. But this is ridiculous. Wow. On Saturday at 4, the Rhode Island Political Co-op and allied organizations are rallying at the Rhode Island State House to demand that the state take action and actually spend the damned money. Well, hell yeah. Let us know how that goes. And people who are in the area for sure show up. Edwin says, Dave, do you have any thoughts on how to deal with those annoying YIMBY types that shill for real estate developers and call all their opponents NIMBYs? Oh, I mean, they suck, man. There was a tweet I saw the other day that called Native Americans NIMBYs, which was pretty wild.
Oh my God.
Yeah. But it was like, it was phrased in a way that's like even worse, because it wasn't just like a, I mean, it was stupid, don't get me wrong, but it was like phrased in a way that, like, apart from Native Americans who are just sort of like naturally NIMBYs, you know, like it was like a kind of like, well, I can understand why they're NIMBYs, but they're NIMBYs nonetheless. No, I mean, like, there's no doubt about it that we need to be building housing, and that, you know, there is a certain moment where like attachment to like maintenance is a kind of like middle class, like 1970s, 1980s, like fantasy about, like, you know, don't let my city change. It's like, well, the world population has grown, city populations have grown, you know, you need to do building. But yeah, the NIMBY people are just obnoxious, because one, they're fixated on this debunked kind of philosophy when it comes to building housing, which is building luxury housing means that essentially creates affordable housing, because, you know, the people at the top move into the luxury housing. No. What ends up happening is rich assholes hold the luxury housing as you know, as a personal asset, and use that to either hold money against the banks, you know, against inflation, hope that it accrues in value, unless it sit there. The answer to housing crisis is for sure to build, but to build affordable public housing for folks. For who, how do you deal with them? I mean, I don't know. It depends on where their actual politics reside. If they're on the left, I think, you know, the argument I just made works. If they're just like a neoliberal who, like, this is like, they get pink in the cheeks about this shit. It's like exciting. It's like, I can like argue for like nasty politics and, but pretend like it's a good thing. I don't know. It's a very Obama-esque way to look at the problem today. The reason that we have a housing crisis is because we have a political and economic system that privileges home ownership, or not even home ownership, but like the value of housing, property values, yeah, above all else. And we've completely neglected public and affordable housing, not just on the federal level, but on the state and local level for years and years and years. And to sit here and say like, oh, well, the problem, you know, the reason that we're in trouble is because some people wanted to make sure that the neighborhood that they grew up in didn't become like a playground for rich folks, and just, you know, kind of bizarre condos. I don't know. It's an annoying political movement for sure. And it's a really simplistic way to look at the fundamental problems of housing in the U.S.
And it's like the Obama thing of anti-democratic implicit, which is like you're blaming the people for it. If only the people would get out of the developer's way, they'd build you all this great housing, right?
The sweet developers.
Yeah,
it's like, looking out for us.
If only the haters stopped hating so hard, we'd all have, you know, we'd be living in a giant skyscraper like in the Jetsons.
Matt, this is from Edwin as well. Matt, how comparable do you find corporate and advertising driven restrictions on free speech / expression in America to be versus state-led restrictions in countries we deem authoritarian? Even in China, the political spectrum of acceptable ideas ranges from conservatism to communism to even neoliberalism. It's not at all this diverse in the United States mainstream, and it makes me roll my eyes whenever there's talk about free speech existing in this country in any meaningful way. Am I being unfair / spoiled?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think the First Amendment has delivered like material benefit to people. Generally, I think it's one of the better ones, and I like the freedom of speech. But that said, I'm not an American exceptionalist when it comes to free speech at all. I think, but I think I don't know enough to compare it to, like, say, China. I do know that, like, Britain, say, for instance, you get sued for libel a lot fucking easier there, and
that
shit
sucks.
Yeah, like that sucks.
I don't think people realize how bad it is there. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you don't go on.
No, I mean, I was just saying it's just like you just think that it's the case there. But there's a big reason why, for example, you had so many British radical journalists coming to the United States was one, because they want to live in the beautiful country, you know, at the top of the world and not on the sad island. But also because they didn't have to worry about being sued for fucking libel like they could in the UK, which is wild, I guess, because we always sort of consider the British media to be, which is, I think, a misnomer, but like more pugnacious than American media, when at least when interviewing politicians. The kind of sanctity of free speech is not as held to there.
Yeah, and like, I mean, I feel like outside of that, like the Chomsky model is basically still applicable, and it's applicable to, like, say, for instance, why I didn't want to say slash tires of cop attendance in a clip, right? Like that, like you have to be careful about stuff like that. And that is definitely censorship. And that's, I think, an important type of censorship.
I also think that, like, corporate control of speech is a free speech issue, too. And I've always found it weird. Also, people are like, well, the only free speech issues are when, you know, the government state is actually preventing you from doing it. I don't think that's true. I think that, you know, if especially if, like, monopoly media organizations are deciding what can and cannot be said, that is something that you should care about. Even, like, just, like, beyond even, like constitutional arguments about America, right? Like, just drop all of that for a second and go to, like, the fundamental realities. Like, we make up our society. And if the power that you're exerting over people comes from the seal of Rhode Island, right, or Facebook, we should be very worried about the way that people are wielding power in our society, especially those who are, you know, unelected.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that everybody's, you know, platforms needs to, like, have, you know, to invite me on to say whatever I want to say or blah, blah, blah. But we should say, as a society, I don't know, like, look at these things as things that we're constructing and norms that we're constructing and spaces that we're constructing and take them. I don't know. Like, everything is up for conflict. Everything is up for debate. Right. And this kind of closing down, like, okay, well, this is a place where we can talk about free speech and this is a place where we're not going to do, I think it's BS and anti-democratic.
Yeah, I mean, I just think of, like, the corporations as basically privatized versions of what the state should be doing, right? Like, the USPS should be in control of Facebook, and, like, right, like, so, and then it would be a fucking First Amendment issue, and then what would you have to say about it, right? Right, so, like, that distinction is complete bullshit, and, like, yeah, like,
no, we make the argument for economic democracy all the time, right? We're saying that we want to expand democracy, but somehow, I don't know, somehow people think that these other, on certain questions like that, basic kind of, like, personal, individual, democratic rights don't apply to private corporations. I don't know if I agree with that.
No, I think it's a wrong-headed way to look at the way that we, because you just privatize something and be like, oh, it's the company that's denying you your right. It's not the government, I guess. Like, no, that's clearly not a way to look at corporations, in my opinion.
Kowalski has a good one. Matt, in reference to the think tank on Sunday, I have to agree with your utopia vision to return herds of bison to the range lands of the Western Prairie. Once we finally make the transition to large-scale greenhouse farms to locally source most of our food, making animal agriculture less necessary, so these areas will not be as necessary for economic activity anyhow. So it might as well be a place for wildlife and hunting. Bison are beautiful animals, and they produce about half of the emissions of cattle. So having millions of them is preferred to cattle while still consuming the grass, which prevents soil erosion and fires while enriching the soil with nutrient manure. Very true. Not only is this a beautiful vision, but it's also one that I believe wholeheartedly is within our grasp. Yeah.
I like that. Yeah, my my dad knows very well a bison farmer in North Dakota. Not a big one. There was only about, like, three or four or five on the ranch at the time, but amazing. I mean, animals, and also tasty.
I might have mentioned this on Sunday, but Epic Jerky, the people who founded that, they made a good amount of money. They sold it to other folks now, and they used the money to open up a bison ranch in the hill country nearby. And I mentioned this, that they're trying to recreate, like, the natural herd, and sort of they have movable fences that they move throughout the day. I don't know how, like, expansive that project could be, but I do find it very interesting. Yeah. Man, I mean, also, like, there's just something so sad about the mass murder of the bison.
Event itself is, like, one of the globe's great tragedies, and the lack of memory of it, or the weird memory of it, which is, like, for a while it was remembered as, like, good that we did that and necessary, and then just forgotten about, right? And clever, you see that, right? Pyramid of skulls picture, and it's like, that's America. That's why, like, that's why Europeans looked at us like, those fucking Americans are like violence.
The Europeans have their own weirdest shit. No, I mean, like, whenever, like, every once in a while I get a little sad, and I'll text a couple of my, after having a couple of drinks, we'll get sad and text my friends about how sad it is that we killed off all the bison. It always gets me really bummed out. So I love the idea. I think that would be a beautiful thing and a righteous thing to do. Joe has another. He says, so the Everyone is a Hero speech backfired during first break. Note, we have two breaks. Until the company took one away, but everyone still calls it first break. Someone else flat out said, why the hell don't we unionize this place? And half a dozen people echoed the question. I'll be chatting with them to bring them into the fold. One has already jumped on board. Well, congratulations. That's exciting.
Yeah,
some good news. Dave from Jamaica has some, come on, Dave, you got to cheer up. You're in Jamaica. little throwback. So not so great news from Jamaica. We are still at 15% vaccinated due to hesitancy. My sister caught a breakthrough case of COVID since she works as a doctor. I'm sorry to hear that, friend. Most hesitancy comes from conspiracy stuff on Facebook, and trying to expand people's media diet proved to be a difficult task. Hopefully things may change, but I think Facebook getting removed from the face of the earth might help. Yeah, I mean, it's sad. People think that that's like the true, what they're getting, and you take it away too, it almost makes the conspiratorial stuff seem more like reasonable too. I mean, it's
so. Oh, sorry.
No.
I was just going to ask, like, what vaxes are available down there?
No wonder. Yeah. If you're watching still, Dave, let us know at the bottom.
And is the availability, like, you can get it if you want it? Because I've seen, like, the conflation of, like, there's a degree of hesitancy being seen in African countries, but they also can't get it. Mm-hmm. And so it's dwarfed by the people who don't, like, can't get it, even though they want it.
Who do you think wins? This is from Emotional Support Chunk. Says, who do you think wins in a game between PragerU and University of Austin? Well, I will tell you, I think the University of Austin is more of a Quidditch school than a football or a basketball school. But I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, Prager himself ain't going to win you any games above replacement. Now
I'm going Prager. I think
Will Witt is a young kid that's doing, like, he's trying to be their Charlie Kirk or whatever. He's probably better than just about everyone, or more athletic. I mean, that University of Austin, Texas should just be a fucking. I called it the.
It's not going to happen, by the way. No, it's never. I drove by the. It's not a real place.
It should be called the University, or the Hoover Institution of the University of Phoenix, because, like, all these Yale, mm-hmm. like these are Ivy League weirdos that, like Steven Pinker, for instance, still has that job. Not like they all the universities suck, and we need to start a new one. But we also need to stay at the ones where that, you know, really pay us, right? Like, we're not gonna throw all of our credibility or. Our sinecures away in the ivory tower so that we could do these have you seen these masterclass videos?
Yeah. Yeah. That's what it's going to be. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. It's going to be masterclass where instead of Steven Spielberg telling you how,
Steven, like, Steven Pinker telling you how to get on a plane with a known pedophile.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And, like, how the world's getting better too. So you should just trust all the donor class. I think Will Menaker had the best joke, which is that he was going to major in NFTs and minor in ethnic cleansing, which is, like, I mean, but that's the thing is, like, I'm worried it's not even going to happen to the extent that we won't even get to see anything from it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at least if they get a course going, that's going to be content. It's going to be fun. We're going to play it here, but I don't even think it might get that far.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm just trying to get everyone to not talk about it, because the more we ignore, I just can't. I think I see already. You can see in the thing. There's gonna be more stuff on it, so I might save some of my energy to answer some of the other questions. But yeah. I will say, there's nothing more annoying to me than, like, being back home with my family and, like, really loving being here, and, you know, it's a place that I love so much, and just having all of this public face of it, of Austin, being people who, like, either don't even live here, right, like these people with the University of Austin, or people who barely live here, like Joe Rogan and Elon Musk, right? Joe Rogan lives way out west, and he goes, like, his favorite restaurant is, like, the most, I'm not going to say the name of it just because I don't want to get anyone mad, but, like, the most hilarious kind of, like, chain barbecue restaurant around, right? It's, like, the kind of guy who's, like, not from here is, like, okay, well, what's the place? Somebody asks, you know, where do you go? Like, you know, what's the place I need to answer? And Elon Musk, I mean, he doesn't give a shit about this place. He's just using it as a tax write-off, right? So it's amazing. It's so frustrating to be, like, Barry Weiss being, like, well, it's good enough for Elon Musk and Joe Rogan to be here. So we're gonna, like, those people are not Austinites, those people are not Texans. So it's just like, I don't know, it's just frustrating to have like a chapter of this place's history being written by freaks from all around the country and globe.
Yep, don't you feel lucky?
I do. Emotional support, Johnny has a good question. Why doesn't Griska make more appearances on MR? Is there a change.org petition or GoFundMe to get David on the show? You're right, I haven't been on it, and it's because Sam Cedar's very mad at me. Because I drank his scotch one night when we were hanging out.
Yeah, exactly. It's like no more. Yeah, exactly. That's a good question. We should have David on. It just never really like occurs. But
no, I mean it's. I mean it's more than fun. I mean it's like at the same time I love the Majority Report, but it's like I very rarely watch it too because it's just, especially when it was like you, me, and Michael, like it's like too much to like do yeah. this and then go home and watch everybody the next day. Right. No, but I mean it's all good folks. I actually watch a lot more Majority Report now than I did in the past. I heard Griska, Matt Fain says, I heard Griska move to Austin to get on the University of Austin tenure track as the professor of grilling studies. I'm looking forward to the BBQ MOOC where all the course notes are distributed via NFT transactions. Please confirm or deny. Well, I will tell you right now that it probably is accurate that they're going to be doing grilling studies instead of BBQ studies at the University of Austin. I will definitely be doing, BBQ courses for the people, and not for angry people from, freaks from New Jersey who want to hang out with Barry Weiss and Stephen Pinker. That's the thing that's so annoying about it too, is like, you know, the thing is like, first of all, the University of Texas at Austin is like a premier university, right? And the right wing is already putting their hands on it and they're forcing it to open up. I can't remember the name of it, but they're opening up a whole new department that is going to be, of the university that is going to be about promoting freedom and free markets. Like the big university here is already preparing to do super crazy right wing grift shit, right? Yeah. Like we don't need like the non-degree conferring university to be offering it. And I can't tell, I mean, I do think this will be masterclass and weirdos, older, wealthier folks who are sort of coming around. Again, I don't think that there's going to be much to the physical campus. But if it ever did exist, I'm sorry, I can imagine it's like this kind of really angry conservative kid from like a upper middle class place. And they're mad because like their teacher was a Democrat in high school, right? Like an angry kid from like Delaware, New Jersey, like freaking out. Like that is going to be the student body of.
Yeah. And that kid will drop out the moment he gets an impression of what the co-ed situation is like.
OP Supreme says, when will Griskin go to the University of Austin address and take some photos? You know, I was actually texting Matt about doing that this morning. I could. I'll tell you all if your people are interested, like it is a nothing building. It's on a street where there's a bunch of like law firms. And it's a house that just went up for sale right next to like a small apartment building. And then the rest of it is like those really ugly, like kind of neoliberal apartments that are shooting up everywhere. So it's a weird little building. Certainly it's not a university. I mean, it looks like the kind of place that like might have like a yoga studio inside of it. Yeah, maybe I'll take some pics. JB Funk says that this ad is as cringe as the Cadillac commercial about Americans being superior for not taking vacation so they can make money. I think this is in response to my love of Matthew McConaughey said. JB Funk also says, who didn't like the McConaissance? Do you know about that? That's when Matthew McConaughey went from doing rom-coms to one of my favorite shows, honestly, is True Detective. I thought that was phenomenal. And Dallas Buyers, it's fine.
I enjoyed True Detective, but like to me, like I never really had an that was when I first heard about Matthew McConaughey was in the McConaissance. Like I didn't have an impression of him. So like a guy was having a renaissance that I'd never heard of before. And it's like, okay, this show's not bad. True Detective season one was good.
No, one of my favorites. I've watched it probably 4 or 5 times at this point. Matt Hatter says, Matt and David, when you were brainstorming your cryptocurrency episodes, did Carlos Mattos ever end up on your cutting room floor? He's arguably the craziest crypto bro and one of the best memes of 2018. Do you know who this is, Matt?
I've not heard of this.
The Alpha, I'm just looking him up and we can do this together. Because that's the last question of the night, other than JB Funk, who says, it's funny who gets called NIMBY, especially when a poor country gets selected for a nuclear waste dump. That's a good point. But let's as we're leaving, let's see.
Also, this guy. It'd be nice to have a backyard, but whatever.
Yeah, that is true. Come over here, man. I got a smoker and I got a little koi pond in the place I'm renting. Carlos Mattos is the alpha chat of crypto, made a dramatic entry in the crypto space in late 2017 with a legendary speech at the BitConnect convention. Though crypto is not his full-time job, his chat and God, who wrote this? Bad crypto podcast. Nightmare stuff. Oof. You know, I would find it because I think it probably would be funny, but I don't know if I have the stamina to. Is this it? Maybe this is it. Oh, let's make sure my message. Okay. That was first. Oh, that's just a picture. I don't know. We'll check it out. That sounds funny. Appreciate everybody. We'll be back this Sunday with the bonus episode to be announced very, very soon.
See you, folks. Yeah.